All right, so welcome, welcome. This is our Sunday, what is it, August 22nd day of meeting in Zoom here. Of course, we had to close the church down because of the emergency warning that the mayor de Blasio gave, emergency for New York City because Hurricane Henri, I think is how you pronounce it. To me, it looks like Henry, but Hurricane Henri. So today we're going to be back in our series in the book of Acts. So we're going to kick it off from Acts chapter 13. We're also going to be in a bunch of the books of the New Testament. We're going to be looking at this topic called forgiveness. But we are going to continue this brief series going through the book of Acts, continuing in the grace of God. But we're going to pick up at Acts 13 and we're going to start reading from verse 42. I'm going to read this here. So Acts 13 verse 42, it says, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." And so I'm going to go ahead and start us here with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we do ask, Father, that you please would speak to our hearts, minister to us, help us, God, to really comprehend and know what is this that we need to do, just like the early church here in the book of Acts. These Christians, Jews and Gentiles, got saved in this early church, in this new thing, in this New Testament time. How is it that they had to continue in the grace of God? Teach us some of these things that we can implement in our walks and lives today. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to refer to a couple of slides here. Now you guys know, just picking us up a little bit of where we were before, we had talked about in this brief series going through the book of Acts. We have a little series as we go and do expositional teaching and preaching throughout the entire Bible, but going through this book that we call Acts, we do this study we call inductive Bible study, where you start to dig deep, you look at the cultural context, you look at some of these things that are going on, and the people were exhorted, they're being convinced here, persuaded to continue in the grace of God. And then it goes to the next verse. So we want to look at this and study this a little more in depth, because this is obviously greatly, greatly applicable to you and I today. So that's what we've been doing. And we've looked at this topic of grace and what this means. And also, we discussed last time how God wants to forgive us, right? Praise God for that. Amen. Any thumbs up there? God wants to forgive us. And not only will he forgive us, he's got the uncanny ability to forget our sins. As quoted in Hebrews chapter 8 of the Old Testament prophecy, you'll find in the book of Jeremiah, in the Old Testament time, it was prophesied of a new covenant to come that God will remember your sins no more. That was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament. There'd be a new testament to come, but the people never realized that until Christ Jesus came, was birthed on this earth, put on a body of flesh at the age of 33, went and died on the cross for our sins and those of the world. And what happens when we believe and receive and take in this forgiveness of sins through Jesus Messiah is then, hey, because of who he is, he's our great high priest, he's Messiah, he's our Lord and Savior, he died for our sins. That's what he had done. Who he is and what he's done, he has bore our sins, he had died for all your sins, past, present, and future, by one time. So he died on the cross and said, it is finished, your sins were eradicated, just boom, just like that. We praise our God for that, you see. And so we look at these things and go, God, you have forgiven me. And then now when I look and I read and study the New Testament and I just walk out Christian life, I start to realize this topic of forgiveness is beyond me. It's huge, right? And if you guys realize that, it becomes one huge topic for every single Christian that walks the planet, because forgiveness is not an earthly principle. Forgiveness in this way, this manner, it comes from heaven through Christ, given to you, and we're expected to give to others. So last time we discussed how there was a Barna paper that had been done with Barna Research Group, and they had discovered, and we kind of all know this, but they have actually done the analytical surveys, that, hey, there is 1 in 4 practicing Christians that struggles to forgive someone. The reality is probably much higher. Okay? I know that's been my life many times. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to wave your hand or you know, give us a thumbs up, because I know that's pretty much all of us. Let's just fess up, let's face it. Okay. But they found, for those that actually answered to the survey, that 1 in 4 practicing Christians, not just those that call themselves Christians, practicing Christians struggles to forgive someone. So we look at this, we discussed one side of it. You got to first receive forgiveness, and then second, now you need to forgive others. So as I said, forgiveness is a heavenly principle. Now, you'll find this. You can turn there if you want to read it on the screen, but 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice the order. Confession, second, forgiveness of sins, and then third, cleansing. God is the one that can cleanse us, forgive us, and also receive this confession of sin. So we start to work this into our lives from heaven through Christ Jesus. The Father through Christ Jesus forgives you as you confess your sins. Notice a conditional if. Some people hold on, I'm not a sinner. And 1 John takes care of that. 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have not sinned, we call him a liar. Okay, so if the person says, I'm good, I'm a good person, I've never sinned, they're calling God a liar. It actually says that in 1 John chapter 1. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and notice it doesn't stop there. We've got the conjunction and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, you receive forgiveness within the context of what we're going to be looking at and teaching, going through today, and then God willing discuss afterwards. Guess what? One of the things we need to be cleansed from: not forgiving others. Right? Makes sense? The immediate context makes sense. In your life, if you've been a Christian over a month and walking through this planet and interacting with other people, family, friends, and others, you realize that becomes a huge issue. Wait a second, God. You cleansed me, you forgave me, now I gotta forgive others? Oh boy. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Why? In the world, it's all about unforgiveness. Stab them in the back before they stab you, and then bounce and run. Right? And then we break our relationships. We break our marriages. People end up in divorce. They have irreconcilable differences. That's satanic. We have to realize we cannot follow Jesus Christ and act like the world. Okay? And so, this is one of the things that we need to be cleansed from. One of the things of unrighteousness once we come to Christ is that we have all embraced hearts and attitudes of unforgiveness. But God has a different story and a different plan for you, my friend. And so he wants to forgive you and through you, forgive others. That you would be a mimicker of him. And yes, we'll get to that in a bit. That you would mimic him. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you're in the book of Acts, you can make a right turn and go to the book of Ephesians. You'll find it after 2 Corinthians and Galatians. And then in Ephesians, in chapter 1, notice what it says in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. So it wasn't cheap. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Notice that. You've been saved by grace, and it was according to the riches of his grace, not your grace. His grace. This is also the way that you tap into how you need to forgive others, through his grace, still working, still abiding, residing in and through you. His grace. And then the book of Colossians, if you're in Ephesians, turn to the right. You can go to Colossians, and in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, forgiveness. It's a heavenly principle. It comes from heaven. It's through Jesus to you. And forgiveness is not of this world. Again, I'm going to say that once more. Forgiveness is not of this world. This is why Christ-like forgiveness doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the world, but it does through you, Christian. That God the Father, through his Son, your Savior and Lord, Jesus Messiah, the Christ, that he can show his forgiveness through you. This is how others can get saved, is that you forgive them and show them the heavenly principle, they're going to be in awe and wonder. How can you forgive me? Oh, but I've been forgiven by someone greater. And it could turn into a ministry opportunity for evangelism, that you can actually help someone get saved. Because it comes from heaven, you are a participant, a recipient, and then through you, you could be a dispenser, a giver of grace, a giver of forgiveness. So forgiveness is a heavenly principle. One of the other things that I want you to know, this is in the book of Revelation. If you turn to the end of the Bible, Revelation is in the back, and in one of the very last chapters of the Bible itself, in Revelation chapter 20, you can read it on the screen or you can turn there with me if you wish, but starting at verse 11, I want you to know that unforgiveness, did you know forgiveness is illustrated in the Bible through Christ Jesus, as well as in eternity, those God has forgiven through Christ Jesus. But did you know there is an antithetically opposed topic to forgiveness? What is that? Unforgiveness. It is also depicted in the Bible in eternity and will be held throughout eternity. Listen to this and check this out, because this might show you and I why unforgiveness is a similar thing if we hold on to it in our lives today. So Revelation chapter 20, I'm just going to read this. You can see this here on the screen, I'm sure. But in verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." All right, so at the end of time, as we know it, there's going to be a point in time where this earth, as we live in, and the heavens, as we know it, are going to go away. You could also read about this in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's going to dissolve. It's going to go bye-bye. So don't hold on to the things of this earth. These are temporary things. And then God's going to set up his court. He's going to judge everybody, and he's going to open up the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 13 says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works." So on this day that we call Judgment Day, and this is also known in American culture, okay, it's in our movies even, Judgment Day. And you can use this in evangelism. The average person knows, okay, there's going to be a Judgment Day at the end of time. Yes, the eternal judge, God himself, is going to be sitting on the throne. The book of life will be open, and people will be judged. They're going to be given a chance to state their case. But we're told throughout the Bible, zip the lip, they're going to be silent before God. They got nothing to say. Why? Because they're going to be judged against the perfection, the righteousness of God himself through Jesus Christ. And then the person says, "Wait a second, I don't measure up." Exactly. So confess your sins before God, repent from them, receive salvation through Jesus Christ, because your sins were judged through Christ Jesus. But if you reject him, that person will be rejected. Well, that person will be judged on Judgment Day, as we see in Revelation chapter 20, on what we call the Great White Throne Judgment. But unforgiveness is a principle that you'll see illustrated by the lake of fire. In eternity, the picture of unforgiveness, you can see in this picture depicted by the lake of fire. Verse 14 says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So for those who may reject God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah, sadly, they're going to pay for it in the lake of fire. No wonder why unforgiveness burns us here. Dun, dun, dun. Realize in our relationships, in your relationships, but you don't know what they did to me. I don't know, and I don't care to know, because Jesus Christ died for them and certainly died for you, Christian. You and I cannot hold on to unforgiveness, or else we'll be like the devil. We'll be in bondage and in bitterness. And you see the picture of those that grip and hold on to unforgiveness is actually depicted in eternity. Question to throw out there, to ponder in your heart. Who did Jesus die for? People or angels? He died for people. Jesus, Messiah, did not die on the cross for angels. Fallen angels, the one-third of the heavenly host that Lucifer, the devil himself, and when he rebelled in heaven, he took one-third of the angels with him. Two-thirds are still with God. Praise God. But those one-third, they do not get forgiveness. So guess what the devil and the fallen angels know? Unforgiveness. Guess what the devil and the fallen angels know and try to use against you, Christian? Unforgiveness. Why? Because it works. You see, and so the bitterness that they must hold on to, and they know where their destiny is going to be, in eternity it will be burning forever and ever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. You see, and you got to read about this in the end time, in the end of the Bible, really at the end of the book of Revelation. Okay, the devil doesn't want you to know this. This is his eternal picture. He doesn't want you to know this. He wants people to blindly follow him, not knowing about this. And the way that he gets Christians to blindly follow him, and instead of following Jesus Christ and the way of Christ, is to hold on to unforgiveness. You see, and so we gotta not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And we'll get to that verse in the Bible in a little bit. So unforgiveness is also illustrated by the lake of fire in eternity. And here in Matthew 6, you guys know this. This is called the Lord's Prayer, or you might say a disciple's prayer, because the Lord Jesus didn't have to pray this. He didn't ask for forgiveness. It's also known by some as the Our Father prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 15, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts," notice, "as we forgive our debtors." In other words, you're praying in this prayer, "Forgive me just like I forgive others." So you're telling God, if you don't forgive others, God don't forgive me. Do you realize that's actually in the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father prayer? Again, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And notice the prayer, or the templated way to pray ends there. But notice the very next verses. He goes right into the topic of what? Forgiveness! Verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So in this prayer, you're asking God to forgive you just as you forgive others. And then what's the one topic that Jesus goes right into right after this prayer, guys? Without skipping a beat, forgiveness. Okay, we got to remember that. So unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life with God. So why should you care? Well, it's destroying your walk if you don't give in to God and not just receive his forgiveness. Hey, forgive others. That's how they're going to know about Jesus too. And that's how you're going to grow and mature. If you don't get this right, you will not mature, at least in this category, which is a huge category. Okay, and we got to mimic Christ in his ways. Also, you need to know this. Please turn with me, because I want you to know where this is. You can read it on the screen, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a must-know thing. Dun, dun, dun. You know, a lot of Christians don't know this. I didn't know this until I was taught this, until I read this and I understood this. And I thought, good Lord, I've been following the devil in my relationships. And yet you are wanting me, as you gently convict my heart, to follow you in your ways and forgive others. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. And then I started to mature more. And I'm still learning. I still grow. I still struggle with these things, as we all do. We're human. Hey, listen, the only one that didn't struggle with this is Christ Jesus. So he wants to help you and I. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you need to know unforgiveness is Satan's tool. This is Satan's scheme against you, Christian. Like I said, this might be a game changer. This might be a key to unlock huge growth potential in your life. This is a key that every single born-again Christian must learn and must master. It doesn't mean that you finish it, you complete, because when you're done with it, God takes you home. But you're going to have to practice. Got to do that, practice. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive, notice it says, forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. So here's what's going on in general, and I won't go in depth and detail here. You could read about this more in in the first book, in 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church that there's a guy, basically, he's sleeping with, like, his stepmom. Ew, gross. People that even Gentiles in the world wouldn't do. And his point is, like, kick the guy out. This guy is definitely not living according to how he should be. Get him saved. Help him to realize the sin, the error of his ways. And so, reportedly, the guy, that happened, and then the guy had not only been disfellowshipped, but he had come to realize, okay, I repented from that. Now what? They didn't know what to do. Because what do you do after that? Apparently, the congregation in Corinth had been obedient to follow that command and exhortation by Paul in 1 Corinthians. Now what? Be gone. No. What he's telling them here to do now, and this is why it goes this way, in this order, in this fashion, confession of sin, forgiveness of sin, then you've got, well, there should be repentance, obviously, right? Confession of sin, repentance from sin, there's forgiveness, and then there's also reconciliation and a restoration. Many times we forget that, don't we? Hello, anybody here forget that? Sometimes we forget that. Others may have forgotten that with you. After forgiveness of sins, even with God, there's a cleansing, right? You see in 1 John 1:9. So sometimes we can forget the reconciliation and restoration. So Paul's writing to them now in this second book we call 2 Corinthians, already in chapter 2. It's like he's saying, hey, look, I'm putting you to the test. You need to be obedient, but be obedient in all things. You got to restore this guy back into fellowship. Look at this in verse 10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. And check out 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It's here in the red. I have it here in the red. You need to know this, Christian. If you didn't, boom. Like I said, this might be a big game changer. This might be mind-blowing. This might be a key. This typically is for every born-again Christian. Once you realize this, and the divine word of truth just reveals truth to you. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Guys, when I came to realize that Satan was using unforgiveness in my heart, in my life, in my walk with Christ to destroy me, not just my friendships and relationships, but to destroy my walk with Christ, it was a game changer for me. The light bulb came on. I thought, oh my God, I can't believe, Lord, that I would just hold on to this. So for the sake of my walk, and even for someone else's life and walk, I need to forgive, not hold on to grudges. You hear me? Not hold on to bitterness. Not hold on to unforgiveness. That's the way of Satan and the fallen angels. It works. Why? Because we don't know 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Satan has taken advantage of us. So let me take the time to say, Christian, so there might be somebody here, maybe you're listening to my voice in the recording later on, Satan has been taking advantage of you. Don't let him take advantage of you by having you hold on to bitterness, holding on to grudges, holding on to unforgiveness. That's the way of Satan, and dare I say, it is satanic to follow Christ who forgave you. You need to learn to forgive and to let go. Give it up to God. So unforgiveness is a tool of Satan. Don't be, quote, ignorant of his devices. Get in the know. This is why we must attend and go through the Bible. Attend Bible teaching churches. Go through this. Ask questions. Let's get to know what the Bible says, not what someone else says. What does the Bible say? God's revealing to you through the Apostle Paul's pen in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Satan has taken advantage of you, perhaps. Don't be ignorant. Get in the know. How does he manipulate you. What are his devices? One of his huge ones, guys, is unforgiveness. Has Satan used unforgiveness against any of you guys? Thumbs up. Is that any of you guys? Now you know where that is. You know that kind of in your heart as a Christian and in your head. You know that. But where is the biblical truth or reality? Okay? Because everything we do and everything we think in our theology must have a biblical basis. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Don't let Satan take advantage of you. Don't be ignorant of his devices. So now we go through this and we go like, okay, I need to forgive others, God. Help me to know a little more about this topic, this thought here. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to, if you're in 2 Corinthians now, make a right turn. You can go to two books that are close to each other, Ephesians and Colossians. Let's read the first one here that's on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, it's after Philippians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, bearing with one another, and notice it says, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Notice that. So you also must do. Now the word for forgiving, I underline it here on the screen for those that could see in Colossians 3 verse 13 as well as Ephesians 4 verse 32. The word that was translated into English as forgiving is here on the screen. I did a quick copy out of my Bible software. You can find this in what's called Thayer's. You can Blue Letter Bible it. You can go to blb.org or Blue Letter Bible on the internet or on your app, and you can look this word up within these verses. The word itself for forgiving is charisomahi. Charisomahi. You see here, circled here on the screen. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because for those of you Bible students like me, we need to study the Bible. And especially in certain words like this, it's really rich in the original Greek language that someone like Paul chose to use. And hey, the New Testament's written this language. It doesn't get translated well into English. It's just translated into the English word forgiving. So what? Well, here's why. Here's what. When you look at the original language, you realize this word for forgiving that we're told that we also must do, even as God in Christ forgave you, it's based in grace. The Greek word for grace is charis. The root word of charisomahi is grace. Oh, when I'm told by God, I must also forgive, whether Colossians 3:13 or Ephesians 4:32, he's telling me I also must give freely. Hello, just like Christ gave to you freely your forgiveness, you also need to do. So this is on the screen. You see Thayer's being snapshotted and also the New American Standard Dictionary. Notice, I circled, it says, give freely. How? It's through grace. You also need to receive God's grace for your own forgiveness and then cry out to him, reach up to heaven through him. Because remember, forgiveness is a heavenly principle. God, you're commanding me. I also must do this. Help me, Lord. Father in heaven, through Christ Jesus, please empower me that I could receive your grace, that I could give your grace. Oh, I want to be a grace dispenser. Help me to dispense your grace, to give out your grace, that I could be known not just as someone that will forgive one person, one at a time, maybe once every 10 years, but I want to be someone that will be a forgiver, that I could be known to be like Christ Jesus. Because, hey, the longer you exist in the world, the more you serve God, the more you teach and preach the Bible, and the more your life exudes, exemplifies it, you're going to offend people. You're going to have times where you step on toes because you don't intend to, I'm sure. It's just going to happen. And sometimes you're walking in the Spirit, someone's walking in the flesh, boom, they clash. And you're going to hurt each other. You don't intend to. And so sometimes you're going to have to discuss things with one another. Hey, I'm sorry this happened. Can you forgive me? And here's a really good nugget of truth, a real easy, simple thing to do. And I do this all the time. How do I ask for forgiveness? You can simply ask someone, can you find it within your heart to forgive me? Can you find it within your heart to forgive me? I learned to ask it tenderly. Oh, I do that. I do it with my wife. I do that with others. I learn that from others too. Can you find it within your heart to forgive me? And then let that person practice forgiveness. Do it for their walk, not just yours. This is a great benefit. And it brings us out of bondage. It takes the shackles off of us because Satan's scheme is to keep us in unforgiveness. And that person's walk is not only damaged, it stops. They're actually in a backslidden state. want to pray to God, even fast and pray, read the Bible, go to church, give tithes and offerings, do all this stuff, go on missions, do all this stuff. But yet God's like, no, you need to forgive. Go leave your offering, your gift there, the altar, and go make things right, he says. Go make things right with your brother, your sister, your whoever it is. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Okay, pursue peace, we're told. So this word for forgiving, it can also mean give freely. When I see it this way, I realize give freely is something that I need to do. That's how I need to give grace, through forgiving. And again, remember, the root of this word for forgiving is connected with grace, connected with charis. So we need to forgive because God forgives us. But I need you to know also, as we discuss, as you know, talk with my wife Susan even on this, you cannot forgive how God forgives us. Remember what he says in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to the unrighteousness, and their sins and the lawless deeds I will remember no more. So God understands, he built you with a brain, he gave you the capacity that you could store up long-term memories. And as you get older, my memory even, if you're like me, it keeps going away. But he created our brains, our lives, our memories like this. In other words, we need to forgive, but only God has an uncanny ability to choose to forget your sins. He will remember your sins no more. And I'm not saying to hold on to those grudges. I am saying that the practical reality of walking out this biblical truth that we forgive others is, as you forgive because God asks you to, and forgive like he wants you to, you need to understand you forgive because God forgives you, but you can't forgive how he forgives you. Okay, so because of that, I've talked to many Christians, it seems like, man, I just can't forget that thing. And you just got to keep giving up to God. It doesn't mean you're in sin. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It doesn't mean that you're not being as good and honorable as God wants you to be. He understands. He gave you a brain. He gave you long-term memory. Hey, you can pray that, God, can you scrub this out of my heart and mind? He can if he wants to, but the reality is, for almost all of us, you need to learn to deal with that and not just sit there in complacency and in neutral or even park. Move forward in life and keep being a forgiver. Develop that lifestyle like Christ of being a forgiver. So when God forgives you through Christ's sacrifice, he also forgets. He says, their sins and the lawless deeds I will remember no more. But when Christians are commanded by God to forgive others, you still have your memories. It's impossible for you to, quote, remember no more. You still need to give freely, even in those memories. Oh, I can't believe they did that to me. They asked for forgiveness. They repented, but I'm holding on to this. Guess what? Now you might be in the bondage and bitterness of unforgiveness, which is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. I'm going to say it a third time. Unforgiveness is a sin. Do not let Satan's scheme and his plan of gripping your heart stop your walk and prevent you from growth and maturity in God's ways. It's simply a matter of us giving grace. Okay, and so you got to remember that you have to continue to give grace. You have to continue to freely give. And I want to go back to one of the verses that I mentioned here in Ephesians 4. Go there, so we're about to close in a bit. In Ephesians chapter 4, at the end of that chapter, notice it says in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Notice the very next verse. Remember, the original letter was a scroll. It didn't have chapter number or verse number breakdowns. The very next thing flows into, after saying, even as God in Christ forgave you, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Do you know that if you're a born-again Christian, if God is your Father in heaven, you've confessed your sins, repented from your sins, and now he comes to live within you, he's going to train you for holiness, right? Anybody realize that? The Helper is going to come live within you. Anybody realize that? Thumbs up. Okay? He's going to try to train you. The Holy Spirit is going to train you for holiness. He's your Helper. He's going to help you. He's a comforter. He's going to comfort you. And what is he trying to do? Trying to get you to not just receive forgiveness. That's just step one, Christian. He wants you and I to get into the next phase, step two, growth and maturity as a Christian, to mimic him. One of the Greek words for imitate is mimetes. What does that sound like? Mimic. Mimetes. mimic him, imitate him. Therefore, be imitators of God. What did God do? How do I imitate him? Just like God in Christ forgave you, you also need to be forgiving one another. That's what it says. That's the contextual flow of chapter 4 and chapter 5 in Ephesians. Therefore, because you're forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, you're imitating God. Never forget that. I almost wish the chapter number breaks weren't there because it doesn't flow as much as it did in the original letter Paul wrote. You need to mimic God. He forgave you through Christ Jesus. You also, therefore, need to imitate God by forgiving others. Why? Because you're his dear child. We are his dear children. That's there in the letter. Please never forget that, Christian. So we need to practice this. Amen? Practice this. I'm going to close out this time. And as we do, just remember, again, like I opened up, list the people that God wants you to forgive. Oh, God, but you don't know what they did. And I imagine my Christ Jesus, my Savior for my sins, my Lord of my life, hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He who knew no sin became sin for me, for you, on our behalf. And so you need to pray. Pray God blesses them. That's one way to change the attitude in your heart, that he can help you to see from his high, holy, heavenly perspective. You can read about that in Matthew 5:44. Don't return a curse with a curse. Pray for those that curse you. Pray for those that persecute you. And God will change your heart to forgive them, to have mercy for them, to give grace. Not just receive grace through forgiveness, but to give grace by forgiving others. So be the forgiver. Forgive the person. Forgive the people. Make a list if you need to, if there are people. And if not, God willing, if we recorded this, you can go back to it. And if it can help somebody, great. If you have questions on this, see me. I would love to pray with you and we can help one another. But you need to begin your healing now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Make your list. Start forgiving those people. Bring them to God. And hey, if you have to call that person up and just confess your sins and make it right, do it. Get out of that bondage. Why would you let that bitterness grip your heart and stop your walk and cause you to be even backslidden? And then now you're wasting time with your Bible studies, your prayers. God's not hearing your prayers, answering them, because he's wanting you to walk out his will. Forgive. Let it go. Mimic him. Mimic God in his ways as his dear child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. And we do ask you, God, that you please would help us. Oh, Lord, help us to continue to grow. Father, I pray that you would help us to continue to know your will, that we would not only receive forgiveness, but we'd be thankful. And one of the best ways we could be thankful to you is you want us to mimic you. As a loving Heavenly Father, we need to be your child that would be just a shadow of you, a picture of what you do and who you are, that we could display you to the world, even if it's through forgiveness. So we've seen the doctrine. We know that Satan's been taking advantage of us. We ask you, Father, can you please give us the power through your Spirit to walk this out? We can't do this through our own strength, our own ability. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. That's how you would build the physical temple, and that's how you would build and work in our hearts and lives. And we ask for your power to accomplish your will, that we can preach even through our lives, God, that we would be known as one that's following Jesus, loving one another, even as we forgive others. And it's not an earthly principle. We know that it can impact others and represent you in a God-honoring way by simply forgiving. Not just being the one forgiven, but we can forgive others and be known as a forgiver of people. Help us, Lord, through your strength. And help us, God, to get out of this and to get out of bitterness and get out of bondage. Break the chains free. Set us free. We know that you came to liberate those who are captive. You came to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, Father, I know some of us need help in this exact, precise area of learning how to forgive. We know what your word says now, but help us to put this to practice so we can be a mimicker, an imitator of God as your dear child. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.